And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The Sabres and Hawks put up 8 spots on the same night. Yep, Halloween just around the corner. Welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 2 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney with you. What's going on, Jake?
Oh, Nicky boy, I am just trying to recover from streaming Joel Hofer in fantasy on Wednesday night. Did not go my way, but that's the way fantasy hockey goes. And the best recovery process, hanging out with you, Meanie, Pete Jensen. We got a mailbag full of questions, some really good ones. We appreciate that from the listeners. So keep those coming every week, and we'll try to get through as many as we can today.
Don't forget On the Money as well, brought to you by Bet365, coming up a little later on in the podcast here, Jake. But it's bizarre to me. We're like 8-9 days into this regular season. It feels like a lot of teams are in deep doo-doo, namely the Ottawa Senators. It's Tim Stützle time in Ottawa because long-term Brady Tkachuk is out.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Stützle because I actually did want to bring him up at least at one point on the show today. And somebody I was already relatively high on in fantasy coming into this season, but just watching him a little bit, and Meanie, I don't know if you have any numbers on Stützle specifically, but it feels like he's firing the puck a little bit out of the gate. And we know how much Brady Tkachuk likes to shoot it. With him gone now, I feel like Timmy Stützle is going to have to take on more of a shooting role. I like what I see. You know, maybe a buy low candidate out there if you can pry him out of somewhere, because it feels like he's ready to fire it this year.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the podcast earlier this week, is the overreaction, right? When a player doesn't do anything for the first couple games, people are just willing to straight up drop them. He scored last night. He does have 15 shots in 4 games, to your point, so he's shooting the puck a little bit more. He's got 10 in his past too, but yeah, he's going to have to step up significantly. Drake Batherson returned to the lineup last night. If he's hanging around your waiver wire, that's somebody that I would pick up. And hey, Nick, Shane Pinto, another goal, right? So, I mean, he's producing at least at the moment. The Sens are going to miss Brady.
That was your classic letdown game, and Buffalo needed to win at some point in time, but at the expense of a division rival. That one is a difficult one, and I noticed Michael Amadio playing in the top 6. I guess in the interim will be the replacement for Brady Tkachuk. Long term, I just don't know how that's going to work out, but this is just a massive, massive loss for this team. Fantasy-wise, all I could think about was Pete Jensen, who selected him in our YouTube draft. That's difficult as well. I would look external in terms of replacement options. Chris Kreider, Leo Carlson, Anton Lindell, Pete.
I saw a really interesting fan question where someone was asking, in a 12-team league, I have Brady Tkachuk. He just went down. I got offered Leon Draisaitl, one of the top 2 or 3 fantasy players or 4 fantasy players in the league, for Tkachuk and Braden Point. So you're pretty much sacrificing your first or second round pick in this event of injury, and also probably your 3rd pick to get Leon. I might get Leon in that trade, you know, just to lessen the blow here.
I think I'm with Pete on that one. It's Leon. I don't need to sell anybody on Leon Draisaitl and what he does year by year basis, the goal scoring, Nick, and everything that comes with it. So yeah, you're giving up on Point, who's off to a really solid start as well. Player I think we really like in fantasy, tends to get underrated quite a bit, but I think I'm pulling the trigger on that one. If Tkachuk's going to be out, there's some speculation, could be multiple months here, maybe something, you know, past Christmas, into the Olympic break, things like that. I think if I get an upside like a Leon Draisaitl, I'm pulling the trigger on that one, Nick.
I guess it all depends how much time Brady Tkachuk is going to miss. I understand the reasoning of the trade request to begin with. Maybe it's a second half move where it's like you get all your ducks in a row and suddenly you find value in this type of trade. But yeah, it means if you're getting a Leon Draisaitl in this position, uncertain about the future when it comes to Brady Tkachuk, you have to pull the trigger, no?
Yeah, I think so. You have to live in the moment, right? Like you said, you really don't know how long Brady Tkachuk is going to be sidelined. Sometimes I'm the opposite. I like to, you know, I may scan my league mates and see if I can get Brady Tkachuk on the low. Like, if I can maybe sell high on a player or two, you know, Shane Pinto and somebody else. It's like a middle of the pack that I can maybe just buy low on Brady Tkachuk. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to get a Leon Draisaitl, I think you make that move.
Meantime, Jake, are we going to start the campaign for Cam Talbot for the Vezina Trophy? What a start for him, although they're going to John Gibson on Friday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But here we go again, boys. You all know how I feel about goaltenders. We're a week into this season. They're dropping like flies. It's the same suspects, too. I'm just going to throw that out there. But Aiden Hill, week to week, lower body injury. Akira Schmid, who we want to pick up in Vegas, Jake.
doesn't it feel like at least half the league has either had a goaltending injury or an underperforming starting goaltender, right? Like, meaning we're seeing it. Nick mentions Gibson, obviously. Look, Detroit's going to give him a chance to figure it out. They brought him in for a reason. It's great to have Cam Talbot playing well, but they're going to give him a chance to figure it out. But even Vasilevsky in Tampa, right? Meaning, is this maybe because he missed camp, gets off to the slow start? I mean, Tampa's only win is with Jonas Johansson in net, which I can't really figure out for the life of me. But Vasilevsky off to a slow start. A lot of these top goaltenders, even Ullmark in Ottawa as well, it's just such a tough position to figure out. I almost put my hand, this is why we don't draft goaltenders early, and we usually stress that on our preview shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's tough for some people who maybe have Vasilevsky, who drafted Aiden Hill, who have Jacob Markstrom, right? This is a tough beat. And what I'll say is, with some of these goalies that you did spend high capital on, like a Vasilevsky, I'll hammer home the point again. Like, let's be patient here. I think he's a buy low candidate. It's very early into the season, mid-October. I think some teams are going to ease some of these goalies into, you know, second starts, right? You'll see a lot of backups here in the first month of October. So, Nick, you mentioned Schmid. Jake, you know, it's a very small sample size. Vegas is a good squad. He's got a 9.29 save percentage. Last year in five games of the Golden Knights, he had a 9.44. You go back to 2022 with the Devils, 18 games, 9.22. So as a Hill owner, it was an immediate pickup for me. And if you have, even if you have, you don't have Hill, I think getting him as a third goalie on a really good team is worth a grab.
I like those pickups of backups or third stringers on good teams where I just know, okay, the environment's going to be really good. Like picking up Brandon Bussey earlier this week. I know it's just a streamer, not something that's going to help you all season, but great Canes team. I think Alberga could play goalie for the Canes some nights and probably win hockey games. But what one player I really wanted to bring up, maybe Pete, you could touch on this because I feel like you guys have been all over this name and watching him a little bit on Wednesday night for the Sabres. Josh Doan out in Buffalo. Is there a little something there? I know we talked earlier this week. Only guys were really interested in Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin, but is there maybe a little something to be unlocked with Josh Doan and some of these other Sabres players?
For sure. I mean, I mentioned it on the last show. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect three assists and three shots from him, but I knew he was playing on the top line. He's got five hits so far on the season, so covers a little categories, and 12 shots on goal as well. And then there's Zach Benson, who clearly made a big impact on that roster yesterday, coming back from injury. And he's a guy that makes the top six better, adds a little tenacity, you could say. I love him coming out there with the bubble, with the black eye, and having, what, four assists or whatever it was. I mean, that's what Buffalo needs. They need someone to grind for them.
Buffalo needs a miracle. That's what they need.
They need a lot.
Yeah.
Good Josh start last night.
Yeah. All I could think about was Pete watching that game. He's going to be fired up on today's podcast. But good on the Sabres. Big victory. Ottawa's in deep trouble as well. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of value in that. Like even Michael Kesselring, who's banged up right now, I think everybody's going to look at that Peterka deal. He scores again for Utah on Wednesday. But let's look at the other side with the Buffalo Sabres. I want to mention as well with Vegas, you know, rumors running rampant. We'll talk about that when it's confirmed. But we think another goaltender is coming into the mix when it comes to Vegas. So we'll tackle that when it's official. Other goalie injuries, Jake. Jacob Markstrom out a few weeks here with the New Jersey Devils. Jake Allen leaves the game with cramping the other day, but he's the guy I would pick up. Darcy Kemper day-to-day. Anton Forsberg's the guy. But without question, I think the guy you need to pick up on the waiver wire right now is Cam Talbot. 3.00, 1.78, 9.33. I like Spencer Knight quite a bit, and Charlie Lindgren's had a hot start too.
Well, and Cam Talbot, there's a history here where he can just kind of get hot and – do I trust him all season long as a guy that I'm going to, you know, start as my one or two goaltender in fantasy? Probably not, but I'd ride the heater while it's happening. Absolutely. And Detroit, Meany looks a bit frisky here out of the gates. How bad did it look after game one? Todd McClellan already calling out the team, calling out veteran players. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a disaster this year. In Detroit, they respond. They beat Toronto a couple times. Nick mentions Cam Talbot looking good. Now they're beating the Panthers. Maybe there's a little something going on in Detroit. And I think there's some nice fantasy files there as well.
I love that from McClellan. Like right after that first game, this is it. It's now, guys. Like you haven't made the playoffs in years. You have enough firepower inside your top six to get it done. You have some appealing, you know, young pieces on that roster as well. But, you know, I think what you said earlier, Jake, with this goaltender situation, like, my goodness, if you have Hill and you have Markstrom, you're just going to have to play the streaming game, whether it's, you know, I doubt Scott Wedgwood is available, but maybe you can pluck him off of a team as, you know, maybe the owner has three goalies there. Charlie Lindgren, you mentioned. Jet Greaves has been talked about on this podcast, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, dating back to last year as well. He's available in league. So you really will, Nick, just have to stream the position, look ahead at some of these matchups, teams on back-to-backs. We have you covered over at NHL Fantasy. With a cheat sheet for the week. So it's going to be tough sledding here if you're missing two goalies. There's no question about that.
A listener writes in, have too many goalies. That's not there a thing go. In fantasy hockey. Who would you trade, Kemper or Decord? He already has Wedgwood and Swayman. I would actually go off the board and trade Wedgwood because it sounds like Mackenzie Blackwood's coming back soon here, Means.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just tough. Like, if you have Kemper and you have Aiden Hill, it's not the time to trade them. You have to wait until they're healthy, get a couple games, maybe they're good games, and then you can sell high. But yeah, I think Wedgwood probably is the maybe one of the most traded goalies so far to date. You can sell high on him, and I think you could buy him too, like, if you're desperate at the position. But yeah, it's a bad time to trade Kemper, Jake.
Well, I might not be the one to ask about goalies since I did stream Joel Hofer on Wednesday, but at the same time, Brandon Bussey earlier this week got me a nice win. So look, that's the goalie streaming game you play. If you know, people listening have played that and you're kind of playing that game all year, there's a lot of ups and downs to it. Another mailbag question here, Nick, I'll toss this one over at you. Is Steven Stamkos officially fantasy irrelevant? I think irrelevant's probably going a little bit too far, but Is there any juice left on that file? It's sad to say because we love Stammer. We respect Stammer so much, but it does feel like it's fizzled out for him in fantasy.
I understand the question. You have to temper expectation. Like, who's the number one center? They had Brady Martin as their opening night center. He's going to be with Sault Ste. Marie in like 2 weeks, okay? I'm telling you, that's what's happening. He's going back to the OHL. I don't know what they're doing there. I got questions beyond belief with the Nashville Predators. So that's the biggest reason why is, like, we all thought they won the offseason last summer, and now it's like we have no centers. So until they address that position, Stamkos, I'll be honest, like, I drafted him in a couple leagues, Means, but I don't know if I'm going to find that value this season. I think it was obviously a very difficult decision to move on from Tampa for Stamkos.
Yeah, and, you know, preaching patience on this show is we're talking about being patient with players that maybe you took in the first few rounds, where Stamkos was a value. I took a flyer on him as well. I have no issues moving on from him if he's not doing anything for you in the moment. You mentioned Chris Kreider. I mean, why not? Chris Kreider, he has three power play goals. The Ducks had the worst power play last year in the NHL. It's a very small sample. They're clicking at nearly 40%. Mason McTavish led them with six power play goals last year. Kreider already has three. So he's, you know, doing exactly what they needed. I have no issue moving on from a Stamkos, somebody else, going for a Chris Kreider. I have this is a polarizing player right now for you. Mitchkov. I'm seeing in the mailbag a lot of people are, what do I do with Mitchkov? I thought he was going to break out. There's no torts. Three games so far, 14 minutes, 13 minutes, 14 minutes. He has three shots on goal, Jake, and he's yet to hit the score sheet. What, are you patient with a player like that, or are you buying low, or are you concerned?
I think I'd buy low. I certainly have to be patient just a few games in. Meany, I know you've been stressing patience with a couple of these files as well. Mitchkov, he just has so much talent and new coach there. I think you're trying to figure out maybe a bit of a new system, new line mates coming over as well, Nick. So look, how many times have we seen this and we've been through this with young players? That sophomore slump, the little bit of a bump in the road, the feeling out process. I think that talent is so worth it. And again, I'm still very curious how Rick Tocchet is going to coach this team, Nick. You know, Tortorella, I felt like he kept the leash on a lot of these young players. Still too early to tell what Tocchet's style is going to be in Philly, but I hope he just lets these kids go out there and play. If that's the case, I think you're going to see a really good version of Mitchkov at some point this year.
It was a square peg round hole from the day they drafted Mitchkov, where it's like they draft this polarizing kid who loves the Michigan and doing this and that, and then you got the smash mouth Philadelphia Flyers, and first you have John Tortorella, now you have Rick Tocchet. I still wonder long term how that marriage is going to work out. Then they bring in Zegras, which made no sense either, at least for me. But yeah, I'm buying low on Mitchkov. We even saw last year, even with torts, he found his way offensively in the second half of the season. Tons of questions this week about Chris Kreider. What a hot start for him, former New York Ranger now with the Ducks. Timo Meier or Chris Kreider? And another question, hold Mikael Granlund or drop for Chris Kreider? How are we feeling on that file right now, Jake?
I think I'm starting to buy. I wasn't before the season, Nick. I will say, I think you were more in on Kreider than I was. I looked at all those young players and I thought, okay, are they really going to use him in a top line role, top power play? I think they're eventually going to want those young guys. And that might be the case. We might look later in the season and go, okay, wow, Beckett, Seneca, and Mason McTavish, and Cutter Gauthier are running the top power play, meanie, but it feels like, at least out of the gate, I mean, I watched that whole Ducks-Penguins game the other night, actually a very entertaining game,
yeah.
And they're running out that Terry, Kreider, Lacombe unit as the first unit. Now, I think it was situational, where I'm watching these power plays, and they ended up being out there the full 2 minutes because the puck never left the zone. So I think there's going to be games where it's the younger kids getting the power play time, but right now it's Kreider and those guys, and I got to say, I'm starting to buy what's happening out in Anaheim.
Yeah, I'm buying too. And again, what Kreider does, he's good on the power play. You can go back a couple years ago when he scored 52 goals. I believe half of them, 26, came on the power play. So, like, this is what he does. And he scored 20 last year on a very bad Rangers team. So I'm not dropping Meyer. Like, I think I would suggest maybe trying to drop somebody else. I still believe in Timo Meier as a 25-30 goal scorer. He throws his body around. He's not afraid to shoot the puck. He also plays in a top six role and in that top power play in New Jersey. I would just try to maybe move on from somebody else in that situation. But hey, man, you got a good couple options there for you. Like, Petey, don't you think like Meier's worth holding on to despite, you know, just an okay? I think he's actually been okay to start the year.
I was a big fan of Meier in San Jose. He has not been the same player. It's been a couple of seasons now, and I'm just a little lukewarm on the Devils beyond their top couple guys in fantasy. So I would go with Chris Kreider, and the edge stats are backing Chris Kreider right now. 97th percentile or higher in three key categories: top skating speed, high danger shots on goal, and offensive zone time percentage. That translates really well to fantasy.
It does. My eyes also backing Chris Kreider, as the Anaheim Ducks have a pretty red hot start to the season. Great to see them out in droves there at the Honda Center as well for the home opener for the Anaheim Ducks against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're going to hit the break. More mailbag questions on the money, brought to you by Bet365. Also, don't forget to check out part two of Welcome to the NHL Behind the Scenes at the NHL Draft. It premieres Thursday, October 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sportsnet 1 in Canada, and Friday on ESPN Plus in the U.S. Don't go anywhere.
Face-Off Inside the NHL returns, taking you deeper behind the scenes than ever before. See it all from the star-studded Four Nations Face-Off Tournament.
Us against the world, boys.
To the adrenaline of the Stanley Cup Playoffs.
I'm scared of you guys.
With candid interviews and backstage access, experience the sacrifice, the rivalries, and the determination that define NHL greatness.
Just when I thought last year couldn't be topped, here we are.
A new season of Face-Off Inside the NHL. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Tune into 100% Hockey, the podcast that connects with general managers, coaches, players, and more. 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Conversations for you. If you aren't listening, you're missing out.
Hey everyone, Adnan Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany with your mailbag questions. Jake, a lot of love for Chris Kreider on today's podcast. I love it.
You love to see it. And I know you were in on this file, so I'm starting to buy. I don't know if I'm all in at this point, because I do think at some point, man, watching that Beckett, Seneca, Mason McTavish, Cutter Gauthier line, I'm like, man, could Quinville play these guys a few extra minutes? He is actually playing them quite a bit. And immediately, it was great to see those kids out there late in the game. One goal game, he had them out there protecting a lead. Beckett, Seneca made a nice play to get the puck out of the zone. So really fun watching this Ducks team early in the season, and Quinville's trusting those kids. I had an interesting question popped up here in the mailbag. A player I've been watching closely, and a team we've been watching quite a bit, that's been producing a lot of offense, in the Vegas Golden Knights. Should we be worried about Shea Theodore, Meany? I'm watching that first power play unit. He's been bumped off. They're going with five forwards. If he doesn't have exposure to that first power play, his value does take a hit. Is there any concern with Shea Theodore right now?
Yeah, there is. There's some concern. I'm not willing to drop him. I don't think that there's somebody on your... I mean, it's tough. If you're in an 8-team, a 10-team league, and, you know, there's somebody out there, maybe you lost Brady Tkachuk and you need some hits and blocks and you're going to just have to go that route. I would just keep the upside of Shea Theodore personally. Like, maybe he does get back up on that top power play, but they're running five forwards and it's working right now at the moment. Jack Eichel's leading the NHL in points. Dorofeev's got the five goals. Marner looks good. So there's certainly reasons to be concerned. And Nick, another player that we liked on the blue line, we're talking about the Ducks here, is Jackson Lacombe. A lot of questions about Lacombe as well. Like, not off to this hot start, got paid, you know, before the season started, had a nice second half of the season last year. Another player I'm just willing to be patient on. I think the one Ducks player that we haven't talked about that was drafted highly, has a higher ownership than everybody on Anaheim, is Frank Vatrano. Like, this guy's trending down and these kids are trending up. Be patient with Lacombe, but maybe you have to move on from Frank.
Yeah, patience is a virtue. Don't forget, it's pretty early in the season, right? Even like Elaine Hudson is a guy that a lot of people took really, really high. He just has a couple points to start the year. I mean, there's going to be a bit of turbulence. You sort of forget, especially in Lacombe and Hudson's, you know, point of view, the young. Like, I mean, you're going to make mistakes. It's going to be turbulent. Look at Luke Hughes. Like, he's finally putting up points here for the New Jersey Devils. And I'm happy you brought up Vegas as well, guys, because a lot of questions about Pavel Dorofeev. Jake, this is pretty much your file. Are you selling high on Pavel Skorofeyev?
Never.
Or what?
Never sell on Pavel Skorofeyev. I get the case here. I really do, because these are the kind of tough conversations you have to have. As much as I love the file, is he overproducing? Is he playing a bit over his head, right? Is he taking advantage of a great situation? Part of me thinks he's just going to hang out there all year and have that space created by guys like Eichel and Marner and some of these other great players in Vegas, Meanie. But then the other side to me thinks, well, if someone wants to get crazy and offer me, you know, a top-tier player for Dorofeyev, as much as I like the guy, I got to consider it. So it depends on the return. I certainly would entertain it if somebody is willing to give you something crazy for him back. But I don't know if I'm actively shopping him, because I do think what he's doing is legit. We talked about it all preseason, that there's an opportunity for him to put up a lot of goals, and he's hitting the ground running so far.
I'm with you. It's tough to give him up because we believe in him. We don't think that this is a fluke. He led the team in goals last year, so, and he's on a really good team. We talked about the top power play. But here's three buy-low candidates, and I'm seeing this a lot from people. There's Artemi Panarin, who I believe has two assists. There's Jack Hughes, who I think has two assists. And then there's Brandon Hagel. Like, there's one question. What do I do with Brandon Hagel? I thought this guy was a good hockey player. Again, we're 2 weeks into the season. He had 90 points last year. He may not get there. He is a good hockey player. You're not going to be able to get those three players, Nick, for Dorofeyev, but you could maybe package a Dorofeyev and something else for a Panarin, for a Hughes. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I love that. And I always sort of scoff and laugh at people trying to buy low on guys a week into the season. If you're trading one of these guys, I mean, you shouldn't play fantasy hockey, right? Like, whether it's a Vasilevsky or a Hagel, to jump to that type of decision is insane to me, Jake.
The bread man's got to get going, though. This is a contract year, Nick. You're the contract year guy here. He's got to get
paid. The Rangers don't score goals. Everybody on that team needs to get going.
So he's the one I'd be worried about the most, right, Jake? Out of those three guys, Panarin. There's something going on in New York. It's not great.
I fully trust Jack Hughes to get going. I'm watching Panarin. It doesn't look right, Nick. Like, I'm giving up on him, and I'm doing these crazy things trying to trade him. Probably not, but it doesn't look great for a guy I was really high on coming into this year. And other guys in New York look good. At least, you know, maybe the offense isn't there. You mentioned the lack of goal scoring. Shutout three times at Madison Square Garden is absolutely insane. But Mika Zibanejad looks like he's buzzing a little bit out there. Lafreniere's had his moments as well. Not happening from Panarin. So I'm going to get a look at them Thursday night. I'm going to the Leafs-Rangers game, so I'll get a good look at them. Apparently, they can only score on the road. We'll see if that trend continues on Thursday.
We're going on to money in mere moments here. Rangers, money line against Toronto Maple Leafs. Love that. Love the value there the New York Rangers. They can't score at home, but they can score on the road. Speaking of the Maple Leafs, Jake, we'll throw to you here. Scoop up Easton Cowan. He's playing on the top line. That is the question. Obviously, they're looking for that fit with Mitch Marner, now a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you think long-term Cowan sticks with Matthew Nyes and Austin Matthews?
I think there's potential. I don't think it's something you can hang your hat on. Now, Craig Berube is saying some really good things about Easton Cowan, how much his game's improved over the last year or so. And he did look good in the very small sample size that I've been watching. As long as he's attached to those guys, meaning I have a lot of interest in him. I just don't know if he's going to stick in that role all season long. But I do think if the Leafs are going to give him a shot, they got to give him a shot in the top six role. I mean, you're not bringing him in and playing him on the fourth line and expecting him to produce like he did for the London Knights. So I think he looks pretty good so far. I would speculative pickup. I think it's more of a short-term option than a long-term option, though.
Yeah, I think you have to be in a deep league. It's certainly something to monitor. And in the props game, there's going to be really good value on him, maybe to pick up an assist, score a goal playing with those two guys. If he is going to really be given an opportunity, he could fall into some points. But I'm not picking him up ahead of guys that we've talked about that are on good starts, like Lindell and Pinto and Cutter, Seneca. Even Leo Carlson, we haven't really discussed. And you know, he's centering Chris Kreider, and he's off to a really good start. So I would maybe just tread with caution with that pickup. You know, Nick, you mentioned Svechnikov the other night. We were talking about the Hurricanes and how to attack them against San Jose. They had a good day. A lot of their big boys showed up. Ehlers is yet to score a goal, but Svechnikov is one of the most dropped players here looking tonight. Him and Sam Bennett, of both of those guys off to slow starts, but we know what they can bring to the table. And we talked earlier about Brady Tkachuk replacements. Like, if Bennett was dropped in a league, a guy that loves to shoot and throw his body around, you're not going to be able to replace the hits and the shots that Brady brings to the table. But both of those guys, Svechnikov's kind of in that tier as well as a shooter and somebody who can throw his body around.
And another thing to note about Easton Cowan, 5 hits in his first 2 games. If you're trying to replace Brady Tkachuk, make sure that guy covers hits. Another one fan question that we got that I really liked. Why is Jake Neighbors so good at hockey? Pick that guy up. He's got 4 goals, 5 points, and 14 hits so far this season. The perfect Tkachuk replacement, and he's playing on the top line for the Blues.
And Nick, I was a year early on Jake Neighbors. Last year, I was pumping his tires thinking it was going to be a big year. It didn't happen. So, hey, sometimes we're early on these things. It does feel like he's getting a good opportunity in St. Louis. We're all excited about Snuggerud, but maybe Neighbors ends up being the guy that has that breakout season. I did want to bring up the Minnesota Wild power play, though, before we move on. And we did get a mailbag question regarding it. Will Vlad Tarasenko stay on PP1 when Matt Zuccarello comes back? I would think that's Zuccarello's role, right, Nick? If Vlad keeps producing and the power play's clicking, maybe you don't want to mess with it. But it's incredible how great that power play looks through a few games.
Yeah, they've been snapping around big time. Steve Bouillon, what a start to his rookie campaign as well. Snatch him up if you get that opportunity. Probably taken already. A lot of people drafting the kid. But yeah, I think if Tarasenko continues to prove his worth and he throws back the clock, then you have to just ride with it. Kaprizov's off to a good start. Boldy's off to a good start. But yeah, that's probably the way I would play that. Like, even on St. Louis, like, I wondered about a guy like Neighbors last year. I drafted him on like all my teams, and like you, I missed the boat. And now I start to wonder, means like Holloway or Neighbors? Like, it's been a slow start for Dylan Holloway. He finally scored in that loss to the Hawks, but I think I'm siding with Neighbors. I think this is just the season he gets back up to snuff here.
Well, you love the fact that he's playing on that top line Pete mentioned, right, with Buchnevich and with Robert Thomas. Buchnevich is one of the most dropped players, too. I believe he's got an assist in 3 straight games. So people are really like, hey, what have you done for me lately? If you're not scoring goals and you go a game without a goal, I'm cutting you. But I'm going to side with Holloway. We had him yesterday in our picks article. Shout out Bobby in the TikTok videos. Hey, we're doing TikTok videos now on the NHL account. Follow. We had a good night last night. But Holloway broke out before last night. He was leading the team in shot attempts. He's leading the team in high danger shots. He's locked into a top 6 role, and he loves to hit too, so it's nice to see him score a goal. I'm not cutting ties with him, but Neighbors is a really good shout, Jake, because he does throw his body around, and if you are playing in leagues with hits, they all add up. And right now, if you're playing next to Robert Thomas, it's reasons not only monitor, maybe get involved in the betting market as well.
Category stuffer. We love that here on the podcast. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. An official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. So I foreshadowed it a bit. I like the New York Rangers money line, Jake, against the Maple Leafs tonight. I'll be at that game as well. And I'm also taking the under, Philadelphia, Winnipeg, under 5.5. 5 straight meetings have played to the under 5.5 number.
Well, I'll see you there. And I do like to shout with the Rangers and that price. Although I think the Maple Leafs are slowly figuring out without Mitch Marner. Their power play looks dreadful, though. We've talked about a lot of power plays on this show, mostly good power plays. The Leafs power play, not so good right now. I think they're trying to figure it out without Mitch Marner there, Meany. And I'm looking back to the Ducks props. Now, it's a really tough matchup tonight. It's not San Jose. It's not Pittsburgh. The Ducks actually finally get their first real test, I think, of this season against a really good Carolina Hurricanes. Hurricanes team. So maybe not the night to fully attack them, but I think we're going to end up getting some value still on the Beckett Senecas and Mason McTavishes and those kind of players, just because they are facing the Canes and that's going to be baked into the number. So I'm going to continue to attack the Ducks, even though it's a really difficult matchup on home ice tonight against the Canes.
Yeah, it'll be a really good test. I'm looking forward to seeing some of those young kids against that Carolina team. We talked about that Seneca, Cutter, Gauthier, Mason McTavish line. It's plus 450 for those guys to pick up a point. On the other side, Jackson Blake has quietly been really good. He's got 15 shots through three games. He's like plus 150 for three shots, and also he's got a point in each of his three games as well. I was looking at that Rangers game, and just the way that their lines are shaping up now, like Mika is up on that top line, back at center, you know, with Alexis Lafreniere, and then they have Panarin, and then all of a sudden JT Miller doesn't look like he has any great line mates. Like, what about the under 6.5 there? Like, Igor's been good, Nick. Talked about the Leafs power play not playing all that great, and the Rangers are not scoring goals. Like, I kind of like the under 6.5 there.
Me too. I'm actually about to do Leafs morning take in about 30 minutes, and I'm going to build this as Stolarz against Shesterkin. I think two of the better goaltenders right now in the NHL, and probably favoring something. It's probably the under in that hockey game. And also, as Pete brings up, Mika Zibanejad, right, Pete, shooting the puck quite a bit this season, right?
He is. I'm not sold on him, like, eclipsing his past career highs or anything, but this is an indicator that the Rangers' offense will certainly bounce back very soon.
I like to shout, though, with the under in that Rangers-Leafs game, though. I've been to a couple Rangers-Leafs games in Toronto before, and Igor always tends to step up and play really well there, and I do trust Stolarz on home ice. Can I interest anybody in the Pittsburgh Penguins as a big dog in L.A.? Are we ready to fade the L.A. Kings? It's been a kind of a slow start. I liked L.A. coming into this year, but, Meanie, they don't look good to me right now, and Pittsburgh looks at least frisky. Like, they look like they're in these games. You know, against Anaheim, it took a late power play goal, kind of a mistake on the delay of game penalty for Pittsburgh cost them that game, but seem to be in most of these hockey games. We're getting a really big price on them in LA, and you know, maybe look to a Crosby point, some of those props as well.
Yeah, Rickard Rakell scored a goal the other night, a revenge goal there against the Ducks, but he's shooting, and Brian Russ is back in that lineup, so they're top heavy. Evgeny Malkin is tied for the league lead in assists with 6, so he's playing pretty good hockey too, and the Kings are not, right? They've lost 3 of 4. They've given up 4-3, 5-4 goals. Anze Kopitar didn't practice yesterday. He may not play in this game. Darcy Kuemper's banged up. So yeah, I can get behind that. This may be a little bit of a jockey parlay here, Nick, but the Avs are just, they're playing so good. Columbus has the worst penalty kill in the league at the moment. They've allowed the second most shots, nearly 40. Natchez and McKinnon have 8 points each. So you can do the same game parlay at Bet365 with McKinnon 2 points, Makar with a point, Natchez with a point, and all three of those guys to have 2 shots. That pays plus 275, and it's a really good spot. Man, Natchez is just cooking at the moment.
And one thing to note this time of year, right, guys? Like, take advantage of these early surprises. Justin Brazeau, or however you say it, 4 goals this season. You could get him at plus 425 to score a goal tonight against the LA Kings, who have been leaky defensively, to say the least, and have some injuries.
I like that spot, Jakey, with, I think it's LA's first game back home after the road trip too, where Pittsburgh comes in. You still got some gamers on that roster coming off a difficult loss against Anaheim, so why not back them? And I like the Brazeau shout. I mean, that is a Kyle Dubas guy from his days in the Ontario Hockey League, and he's off to a really hot start here with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Just quickly looking at Friday's card, I like Tampa to win in regulation against Detroit. Kucherov over 1.5. I know John Cooper's been talking about Kucherov not playing much in the preseason. I think he starts to cook a bit here. In Vancouver at Chicago, give me a Connor Bedard anytime goal. 3 apples in that win against St. Louis, by the way, on Wednesday.
Good to see Bedard out of the gates, picking up points, picking up confidence. Maybe we could have that season we were hoping for last year. I'd love to add to Meanie's little same game parlay there with Colorado and Columbus. I liked what he was cooking up. I'm going to throw Marchenko shots on there as well. This guy's just been firing. Maybe you want to get a little crazy, throw him in there for a point as well, but he is just firing the puck. If you want to go 3 shots, heck, even 4 shots, if you want to get a little greedy on a Thursday night, I think that game smells like an over. I do like Colorado, but I could see there being some offense in that game, and I'm going to continue to ride the Montreal Canadiens, Meanie, as well. I don't know how to exactly play them on Thursday, maybe in regulation on the puck line. I just think they're a significantly better team than the Predators at the Bell Center. There's some good vibes going on with that Habs team right now.
Yeah, good call on Marchenko, because, you know, I don't know if a lot of people bought what he was selling us last year, but certainly I think all of us were, and he's off to a really good start as well. So adding him for just 2 shots and a point, we'll get that up probably to 4-1. Yeah, we mentioned the Habs last week, or on Tuesday rather. Suzuki and Caulfield, right? Suzuki's got the 6 assists. Caulfield scored 2 the other night. That's how I would play it. Maybe get those two guys in for a point. Caulfield maybe for 2 shots. Maybe add an assist for Lane Hutson there, Nick. And then you got like a 3-1 against the Nashville Predators.
I like it. Baking up a nice, beautiful parlay, courtesy Bet365 and Pete Matthew Schaefer back in action. We love to see it.
Everybody's talking about this kid, and rightfully so. You can attack him a number of different ways in the props market right now. Plus 120 for a point against the Oilers, playing a heavy workload. Plus 175 for 3 shots. Plus 155 for an assist. And if you want to get a little, you know, not greedy, but plus 1,100 to score an anytime goal.
That's crazy.
He's already scored a goal this season and on the power play, and he's pounding out those shots on goal. You got to consider it.
PD Props giving us some juice here on the podcast.
He's 33-1 for 7 shots. He's already had a game with 8. Like, man. Seriously, the books are not going to adjust for a little bit, and the usage rate is extremely high. So, I mean, you can get a little crazy with Matt Schaefer props.
Schaefer against McDavid. Looking forward to that on Thursday night. Also looking forward to a variety of different podcasts. You got Energy Line featuring Eric Johnson, turd broadcaster, just retired, so make sure you check that out. NHL Unscripted featuring John Buchagras, always a great listen. And Welcome to the NHL, it premieres Thursday, October 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sportsnet 1 in Canada, and Friday on ESPN Plus in the States. Coming up on Monday, Week 3 Waiver Wire Edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Talk next week.